This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we welcome Jesse Agler with us here, the voice of the Padres on the road trip in Denver, Colorado. And I don't want to make this sound at all that Jesse doesn't love baseball. He loves baseball. I mean, he is obsessed with it. He is fantastic. But podcaster, especially one who has been to Coors Field many times, the one stat we haven't brought up, time of game last night, 2 hours and 15 minutes, Jesse, at Coors Field. That would have been unheard of before the pitch clock, and even after the pitch clock. That is still a remarkably well-paced game in the mile-high altitude of Denver.
I got two words for you. Dylan Cease.
Yeah. Unreal.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Impervious. Impervious to the powers of Coors Field, man. I don't recall seeing anything like that in a long, long time, if ever. Jesse, that was a lot of fun to watch.
It was incredible. And, you know, look, they've got other examples of guys, you know, putting up similar stat lines, although I don't think anybody ever had the exact stat line that he had last night. But it's like, you know, you watch enough baseball games here and you never, ever expect that. And particularly, you know, for a guy with a couple of different breaking balls, you know, you figure, all right, like the slider ain't going to slide as much. The curveball is not going to curve as much. And we'll see how he goes about it. And then it was, you know, Tony and I were joking during the game. It was as if nobody told Dylan Cease, hey, it's not the same here. And then, you know, reading a little bit this morning, and I can't wait to go find him and talk to him this afternoon. You know, I guess he said, you know, in the bullpen for the game, he and Ruben were talking about it, and they said, all right, you know, this is going a little high. This is going a little low. So just adjust your sight, you know, just adjust your aim a little bit, and then it'll be fine. And apparently it was that simple. I know I'm making it probably sound easier than it actually was. But I've never seen a guy with his sort of repertoire go out there and pitch as normally as he did in that building. It was really incredible.
He's been a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, the comparison has been made a couple of times already. The right-handed Blake Snell, because he will get a lot of swing and miss. He does walk some batters. Aesthetically, how would you compare the two?
Like, who's more handsome?
I don't know, just from a baseball aesthetic standpoint.
I mean, the walks are, to me, walks are unaesthetic, right?
Yes. Correct.
So, you know, that's you're basically asking me who walks more guys. He didn't walk anybody last
night. That's amazing.
I mean, that was very aesthetically pleasing. You know, Blake makes hitters look more foolish,
correct,
I think, than Cease does, because his breaking stuff is so absurd that, you know, he can get the best hitter in baseball to spin themselves around into the box. But I tell you what, Cease has got a little bit more surgeon to him, maybe, you know, and he just has gotten it done. Yeah, we said right at the start, he's got a little bit Blake in him. There's no question it's an apt comparison because, you know, from right side, it's a very similar thing with a lot of swing and miss. Like you said, there have historically been some walks there, but it's all I know is it's been really, really fun to watch.
Talking to our pal Jesse Agler here on Ben and Woods this morning, as we do every Tuesday and have for many, many years. Certainly appreciate your time. I know you're on the road in lovely Denver, Colorado, counting the hours until it's time to get back to the ballpark to see what the San Diego Padres will provide tonight. We were talking about it yesterday, Jesse. I look at this team right now at 13-12, and I go, yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, like, it's pretty good. I don't feel terrible about this team. I think we were talking about aesthetics. Some of the aesthetics they've shown us early this season, it already surpasses, like, the entirety of last year for me in 25 games. It's crazy.
I agree with that. I think, you know, there is just such a different feel around the team. and it's totally different, right? I mean, you know, they're just, you know, and the good thing in a weird way, right, is that like a good handful of the losses were ugly in that the defense or the base running or something like that, you know, was one of the key factors in the loss. And those are things that are fairly straightforward to fix and correct. And so we can sit here on April 23rd and be like, yeah, some of the base running's got to be cleaned up. Some of the defensive stuff has got to be cleaned up. I mean, remember, what, 2.5 weeks ago, everybody was worried about Ha'Sam Kim's defense. That's already gone away. Like, he switched back to his old glove,
yeah.
And now nobody's even thinking about Ha'Sam Kim having defensive struggles, including, most importantly, Ha'Sam Kim. And so, you know, that's stuff that, again, is like, that's a lot easier to address than a collective RISP slump, which is what we had last year. That's a lot easier to address than, you know, everybody tightening up in a big at bat late in the game, which seemed to be the case last year. So like the stuff that's quote unquote off so far this season, I think is again a lot, I never want to say easy, but a lot more straightforward to fix than a lot of the things that ailed the team last year. And that is great. And so, yeah, to be a game over right now, sort of hovering there, playing solid baseball, generally speaking, you know, I think there's like a real sense of like, all right, like just don't let the thing get away. You know, don't let the thing spiral.
Yeah.
And then, you know, let's take it slow and steady for a while here. You know, we'll see where things are a little bit later on in the summer. And then, you know, you kind of take your whack at it. So it's been very watchable. It's been very fun. Look, we've been screaming from the rooftops since spring training. This is a good team. This is a good team. And I think that they're showing that they're a good team. And, you know, have they played like a great team yet? No.
No.
But that's okay. Fernando's putting up numbers, but he hasn't gone crazy yet. Manny hasn't gone crazy yet. Xander's still looking to find his footing. I mean, when those things start to happen, you know, they're going to be able to go on a little bit of a tear, and then it should be some fun.
Jesse, Robert Torres has done a great job stepping into Josh Hader's big shoes and got his 8th save last night, got that double play to end it after giving up a couple of hits. Threw 15 pitches, 13 strikes, but notably, not every single one of those 15 pitches was a fastball. Finally, for the first time, as you're calling the games, how aware were you of that streak of Suarez just going fastball, fastball, fastball? What, I think they said it was 69 straight fastballs before he finally mixed in a, was it a cutter or a changeup?
Changeup.
Changeup?
Yeah, he's doing bits.
It was a changeup. Yeah, it was a changeup last night. I think it was, you know, it's funny because like I've seen two different numbers. I think we had 75 straight
75?
Going into the game yesterday. But like, also, I didn't go back and actually count because I'm not.
It's a lot. Whatever that, it is, like, it was a lot.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't, you know, really matter from that perspective. No, I mean, we were all over it. We've been all over it for probably the last 3 or 4 times he's pitched because you just don't see stuff like that very often. I mean, we were kind of kicking it around with Mike Schilt before the game yesterday, like trying to think of other situations in which we've seen something like that. And I think, you know, Mike brought up probably the best example, which was Mariano Rivera with the cutter. You know, I mean, maybe like that's, you know, sort of the kind of thing you're thinking about. You know, when it comes to somebody just leaning on one pitch that way, it's pretty remarkable, you know, and it shows like in a way that sometimes things are a lot more simple than we make them in this game. And that's pretty much what Suarez has said after every game. You know, when they'd ask him, hey, you only threw fastballs, he'd be like, it was working. You know, I mean, that was pretty much like he would almost shrug his shoulders at the question, like, why would I throw something other than a fastball? Nobody's getting on base. And like, that's great to hear. The reality is for that position, right? You're going out there, you're being asked to get 3 outs. So if you only need the one pitch, go for it. You know, don't unnecessarily mix it up. But look, he's got the changeup, which is a really good pitch. He's got the slider, cutter, whatever it is that he can use as well. And now, you know, we're back into the mode of like, all right, the guy getting into the box has to think about it. And it did appear yesterday the Rockies were not only aware of the fact that he had thrown however many consecutive fastballs, but also, you know, approaching it as if they were only going to see fastball. So, you know, now that starts to happen, you know, you make a small tack, you know, the other way and you mix it up a little bit. But it's been really cool to watch just because it's been so effective and so simple. And it's one of those little things in baseball, man, that like we'll be talking about this in 3 years. You know, like,
yeah.
Hey, remember when Robert Suarez threw like 80 straight fastballs? It's just the craziest things happen in this sport. It's truly beautiful.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski, and Gone South Season 4 will be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is truly beautiful, and I've grown a lot, Jesse, as a man, because last night when Schilt went to the bench to bring in Tyler Wade and his 560 OPS, I was visibly shaken in my home, and made a comment. My wife said, "Oh, you know what's going to happen," and sure enough, that handsome SOB rips one, you know, into the gap, and Padres win, proving, as usual, we know nothing. And Mike Schilt pushed the right button last night. That's got to feel good for him. But go ahead.
What button did you want?
I don't know.
I asked the same question.
I don't know.
Limited buttons out there.
I get it. Yeah. I get it. Grandpa's like in there, too, but he's
buttons,
a rookie.
Right?
I get it. I know.
You had three buttons. You stick with Eggy.
Yep.
You go to Wade or you go to Pauly. Wade's a contact guy. Pauly's kind of an all or nothing guy. The ball wasn't carrying last night. Wind was blowing in. And Eggy hasn't had a lot of success against right-handers. So, I mean, that's kind of an obvious one, right?
Yeah, it was more of like, we need a better bench, right? Like, I texted the guys, I said, first one off the bench, you know, and Ben and I had argued early in the season about, you know, getting a better and deeper bench. But this is what they have, and Schilt is using it. I mean, I'm admitting I'm a moron, but I'm saying I didn't tweet it for once. I would have looked like a buffoon. But it was just, it's been indicative of this team, of guys kind of stepping up when they need to and when called upon.
Yeah,
I think that's...
And I'll admit, I thought Jerks and Profar bench, and that would give the Padres a deeper bench, and I don't think he's going to end up on the bench, Jesse. Yeah, he's getting more and more important, not less and less important as the season goes on.
I tell you what, you talk about the damnedest things, right? You know, I mean, the guy last year in Colorado, I mean, you look into some of the metrics. There was an argument to be made that last season as a Rocky, when all was said and done, when he was designated, Jerickson Profar was one of the least productive players in baseball. Like, truly, numerically, one of the least productive players in baseball. And he got to the Padres. He got hot. You know, it was 21 games that he was there. They went 16-5. And you sort of were able to make this, like, ha-ha argument that, like, oh, Profar's back and the Padres started playing better. But then, like, it's still going. And now you have to, you know, recognize, all right, there's something there. You know, there's something there for the team with him around. There's something certainly there for him, you know, being in that clubhouse, in that uniform, in this environment, that is real. And that is a brilliantly bright example of how, you know, every time we're all playing armchair GM every winter or every trade deadline.
Or every game.
It's not just about like how or every game, how a guy is hitting or whatever. I mean, there is so much more that goes into it. And sometimes you don't know that's going to go that way. Like, you know, when you went out and you got Brandon Drury 2 years ago, you didn't know, right? Like, he was having the best time of his year, you know, before the Padres went out and acquired him. But that didn't mean that it was going to necessarily continue. How many times have you brought in Adam Frazier? He comes in, he was brutal with the Padres.
Terrible.
But he was having a great season. So it's not as simple as a guy is having a good year and it's going to continue after a trade. You know, sometimes there is more going on. And we saw that with Blake, you know, getting comfortable and taking a long time to sort of feel, you know, settled in San Diego. I mean, these are the things that I imagine keep every general manager up at night, because you would love to just pull up all the numbers, you know, and make like a cold, calculated sort of baseball decision. That is not how this works. These are human beings. They are not robots on spreadsheets. And, you know, that kind of stuff truly matters. Understandably, for some guys more than others, you know, you got your robot dudes. Like, if Mike Trout got traded tomorrow to the Reds, he'd still mash. You know, you're not worried about that. But for a lot of guys, you know, I mean, it's a big part of it.
And maybe mark it down as another Scott Boras kind of error in the last couple of years and even kind of letting him go. He could have stayed. Profar could have stayed with the Padres on his option, chose to opt out, ended up in Colorado. Probably hurt everybody, Jesse, in the long run, missing Jurickson last year, not having him on the team for so long. And Jurickson, obviously, as you said, did not fare that well in Colorado. Quickly, before we get to the Incorporator, we got Michael King again tonight. And, to hope among hope that he can string together a second straight great outing like his last one and follow up what Dylan Cease did last night.
He's been a lot of fun to watch. There's going to come a point, by the way, where everybody's going to have to acknowledge that they've brought in some ridiculous starting pitching the last few years. The moves that they have made, going back to that offseason, when they acquired Snell and Darvish and Musgrove, but like Waka and Lugo last year, Cease and King this year. I know it's only April and blah, 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 but like they're nailing these ones, man. They are nailing these acquisitions. We usually as fans, talk about front office decisions when things are going badly. So let's just throw that out there.
100%.
The starting pitching that has been acquired the last few years has been absolutely incredible.
Bullpen this year as well, just rounded, absolutely yeah. rounding into yeah. shape. Eniel De Los Santos and Wandy Peralta and Yuki Matsui and Robert Suarez. You take those four against anyone. Really, they're right there, and they a little bit of a scuffle out of the gate, but that's to be expected. And so far, there's some real defined roles. It's really fun to watch. You feel good when they come in.
All right, back on radio this week for the Incorporator. 5:40 first pitch tonight, and Pauly has got it loaded and locked. Or locked and loaded for you here, Jesse.
Right.
Snollygoster.
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 It's a shrewd, unprincipled person.
Wow, that's great.
I don't know anyone that's a snollygoster. All my friends are not shrewd, and they have principles. Okay? Snollygoster.
You want principled friends.
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
Look, you hang out with a snollygoster and people are going to judge you, so I understand.
Bad things happen.
It's like exactly. the villain of a lot of, cartoons.
Snollygoster.
Snollygoster.
It's a great word to hear in a baseball broadcast. I look forward to hearing it, Jesse.
Sounds like, could be like a hit. Like, there's so many.
Yeah, like a duck fart.
Yeah.
Look at that. It's a snollygoster.
Yeah.
Did I say fart?
Ripped it down the right field line. Yeah.
Snollygoster.
That would be
Tyler Wade in the bench.
Yes.
That wouldn't be the most creative way to use it. Obviously, it would be effective. I'd like to see the actual usage come out, though, tonight.
Look, I'm Ben, when you texted me a couple of weeks ago breaking down the different Incorporator strategies, I laughed so hard. So for you tonight,
what did he do?
I will use.
You missed this?
I told you this.
Oh, you don't know.
Oh, yeah, we did this.
No, we talked about it.
Yeah. We talked about it.
Okay. I will use the dictionary definition meaning of snollygoster tonight. I will give you a literal usage this evening just for you.
Thank you very much. You can catch Jesse again tonight, 4:40 Eco Water SoCal pregame show, 5:40 first pitch. Jesse, enjoy the thin air of Denver for another few days.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Jesse Agler, voice of the Padres.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.